God becomes flesh and profoundly real in the person of our God. For those of us who are familiar with the Christmas story and have been faithful believers for many years, there is a sense in which services such as this one all seem rather nice, nostalgic, warm and cozy, like cuddling up with a warm blanket. But of course, the truth is that for Mary and Joseph, and for many of the people of their day, the whole thing was far from cozy, because in reality, life was hard, and these events were disturbing. And we can easily get a sense of this today, in our own modern day and age, because in many ways, the world in which we currently live is just as dark and disturbing as life was back then, and just as bleak. For not only do we have the terrible conflict in the Middle East between Israel and Gaza, we shouldn't forget that we still have the war between Russia and Ukraine, a war which has huge implications for us all. And innocent people on all sides are being killed, hurt, misplaced, and losing everything that they hold dear, swelling the number of people on the move and fleeing as refugees. And both as a nation and as individuals, there are plenty of other problems that we face too, ranging from the climate crisis to the cost of living. It's therefore not surprising that many of us find life hard at the moment as we worry about our daily struggles and are concerned about what the future might bring. Where do we turn to for comfort at times such as these? Where do we find strength, support, and assistance? And so it was revealed to Joseph in a dream. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Now, we're so familiar with this passage as being a reference to Christ and a fulfillment of messianic prophecy, which it is, that we tend to forget that these words were originally written by the prophet Isaiah some 740 years earlier. 740 BC, before Christ. And so with that in mind, it becomes obvious that the virgin or young woman mentioned here with her baby cannot be Mary and the baby Jesus, as we might first imagine, but another mother and child. So what is its significance? And why was it said? Well, these words of Isaiah were originally spoken to King Ahaz, the king of Judah. And King Ahaz was totally confident that his situation was dire and his prospects bleak. He was 100% certain that his country was just about to be invaded, totally overrun and devastated by the neighboring powers of Israel and Syria, not the same as the Israel we know today, I hasten to add. And so he was frantically searching for allies who might come to his aid and rescue him, namely Egypt or Assyria. But the point that Isaiah was actually making here, speaking on God's behalf, was, Ahaz, you really needn't worry, because this young woman is going to have a child whose name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so if God is with us, then who can possibly be against us? And besides, before the child can even grow up to know the difference between right and wrong, your fears will have proved to be totally shallow, totally false and baseless. But the tragedy of the story was that because of the apparent dire circumstances the king thought he was facing, he just didn't believe Isaiah, nor his word from God. And so he made a treaty with Assyria, which ultimately proved to be his complete and utter ruin and the downfall of his country. And so many years later, when Joseph learns to his great shock and dismay that Mary, his wife-to-be, is pregnant, we can understand why he, in his uncertainty, might contemplate divorcing her quietly. That is, until he receives a dream where he's told three things. Firstly, not to be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And secondly, that he, Joseph, son of David, is now called as the child's adoptive father to name his son Jesus, which means God saves, because he will save his people from their sins, proving that he was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. And finally, he's reminded of the words of Isaiah, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son who's called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And the significance of which, to his great credit, he immediately recognizes and appreciates, means that he shouldn't be at all like faithless Ahaz of old, whose decisions only led him and his country to rack and ruin, but instead he should be a faithful, obedient servant of God, trusting in him and in his incredible salvation plan. Because, as Isaiah had once said, if God is with us, who can be against us? But as you can see from Joseph's point of view, this nativity story is not remotely cozy, but profoundly uncomfortable and disturbing. And yet still, it manages to generate within him a real sense of faith, strength, and trust, which will carry him through the difficult days ahead, because just as the angel Gabriel had said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. And so what about Mary? Of course, at this point, she is a young woman, really no more than a girl. But she's not a fool. She knows how babies are made and that she is a virgin. So to hear that she is to have a baby through the power of the Holy Spirit is totally astonishing. Joseph may have been reminded that through Jesus, God is with us. But the words spoken to Mary are much more specific, much more direct and personal. Greetings, Mary, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. But still, it's not surprising that Mary is greatly troubled by the angel's encounter, because she completely understands the implications of what is being asked of her. What will Joseph say? Will he still want to marry her? What will the neighbors think? How does she feel about carrying a baby and giving birth to it at such a young and tender age? Where will she have her baby? And will she even survive it? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. He will be called the Son of God. Therefore, there can be no doubt that the birth of this baby is hugely important and of great spiritual and political significance. So much so that for a moment it may all seem like make-believe, dreamt up by a young girl with a vivid imagination, uncertain and fearful of her future. Which is why it is so helpful for her to have someone else to go before her and encourage her through the process. Who better than her cousin Elizabeth, an older woman who is about to have her own miraculous baby? For nothing is impossible with God. And so in the light of this massive and hugely profound moment, it is to Mary's great credit that whether she lives or dies, she obediently puts her faith in and trust in God, saying, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. The days ahead for Mary and Joseph are certainly not cozy. They are fraught with huge problems, long journeys, and moments of great difficulty. They need to learn to rely upon and trust each other, just as they need to rely upon and trust in Almighty God to keep them safe. And their faith is rewarded with the birth of their son, praised by simple shepherds and adored by wise men, and blessed by elderly priests For as they come into the temple courts, Simeon takes the child into his arms and blesses him, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, literally within his arms. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, which includes you and me, and for glory to your people, Israel. For you see, God is always faithful to his promises, whether they be given to the prophets of old, to Simeon, or to us, when we put our faith and our trust in him. Because literally holding the baby in his arms, Simeon has seen the Lord's salvation. It's tangible, it's real, it's made of flesh and blood. For just as John explained in his wonderful prologue, this child is not just any human being or baby. He is the incarnation of the Word made flesh. He is therefore not only the Son of God, but God himself, God with us, stepping into his creation. And therefore, not only can Simeon depart in peace, but we can all know peace when we put our faith and our trust in him and recognize that, like Mary and Joseph, that he is our Lord. For he is the light that shines in the darkness and gives light to all people of every generation, whether they be Jew or Gentile. And how much do we need that light today? Now, I don't know what the future holds for me, and I certainly don't know what it holds for you. There may be periods of great joy in our lives or moments of great sorrow. But I do know what next Sunday is. Sunday is Christmas Day, when we celebrate the greatest gift of all, the birth of the baby Jesus, who came into the world not because it was perfect, but precisely because it wasn't. He came to save us from our sins. Therefore, we are not left alone, for God is with us. He remains with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would rather walk through a life of uncertainty, knowing that he is with me as my Lord and Savior, rather than not. Because if God is with us, then who can be against us? Because by putting our faith and trust in him and relying upon God's wonderful salvation plan, culminating in the death of Jesus upon the cross and his subsequent resurrection, then not only do we receive the forgiveness of our sins, but life everlasting, complete with all the comfort, joy, love, strength, and peace that such knowledge brings. Wonderful qualities which we can share with others and thereby transform the world. Not just for this moment, today or tomorrow, or even Christmas Day, but for always. Now, as I've already said, I don't know what the future holds, and the world may look pretty dark and bleak at times, but I do know that Christ is the light of the world, and that light shines into the darkness, and he is also described as the Prince of Peace, and therefore he has to be part of the solution. And so, however dark our circumstances may be, I will continue to put my faith and trust in God and the wonder of the incarnation as expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will too. For like Mary, together tonight, this evening, we can have faith, trust, and confidence that God is with us. And also, that nothing is impossible with God. May I therefore wish you all and your families a very happy Christmas. In the name of Christ. Amen.